I want to run down a few more items that are pertinent that update past broadcasts before we go into that infighting in Washington. We may have to do a two-part on that continuing next week. John Hinckley Jr. allegedly was hanging in a cell. They found him not harmed this evening. I'm sure that after his little episode with a few pills and his hanging by, what, some clothing is, what was it? Yeah, we don't know, his underpants, shoelaces, or whatever. The very clever Edward Bennett Williams' office will prove that he's too insane to stand trial, and that maybe that's what they're pulling. They put off the trial of John Hinckley Jr. from last March 30th when he was caught right on the spot. May have been two or three assassins with silencers, we don't know, but he's never gone to trial yet, and they put off till after Thanksgiving, saying that the jury wouldn't want to be sequestered during the holidays. They also are finagling to change the U.S. attorney and get Howard Ruff out, and I broadcast that before. They're shifting the U.S. attorney position. There's a lot of finagling with the courts. Incidentally, a woman in Milwaukee just got a two-year sentence in prison for sending a letter to Ronald Reagan that threatened him. Victoria Marie Hubert, it's a UPI story this week, was found guilty. She threatened Ronald Reagan with a letter, and she gets 2 years. And John Hinckley Jr., if you're rich enough and connected to the CIA enough, hardly gets anything, and they may just put him in a little mental hospital until he recovers, or they let him out on his own because he's suicidal. He wouldn't want him to suffer enough. They paraded that poor John James Brady around the White House. He could hardly cut the ribbon to the press room. They want to make him jovial and happy and all together before they began the trial on Hinckley so it won't look so bad, but they're going to have a really hard job getting them together, Brady and the others. I just think it's pathetic with what he suffered and what's going on, that there hasn't even been this trial yet. And as I say, they're going to use this some more finagling that, well, in as much as he did that, he's too depressed to have a trial. It'll be interesting to see what comes next. But as I say, some woman in Wisconsin just got 2 years in prison because she wrote a letter to the president, and we didn't even hear about that one. Malachi Martin was on KGO this week. He's talking about the new book he wrote about the decline of the Vatican, and I want to get onto that and some of his other contributions later again. But there was an article in the Houston Post, November the 10th, that the Pope will quit, denied. The yarn is denied. There is talk in West Germany that John Paul is going to resign. He doesn't feel well. He's in the he was in the hospital too long after he was shot. He rests 3 or 4 hours a day. The Vatican so far says that's not true. But Malachi Martin said there's never been an investigation of John Paul I. He believes he was murdered, that there should be an investigation onto how this pope became the pope, and that he suggested on KGO that there's a lot of hanky-panky going, and those of you that listen to this broadcast know how we talked about the murder of John Paul I and how John Paul II came to power. To update the Jonestown inquiry, the House of Representatives, the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on International Operations, has dropped or canceled their investigation into Jonestown. They're going to let that go, but that, like the Kennedy assassinations and all these other scandals, will never rest. There's too many people that know what happened, and it will go on for years. The pieces will fit together. Meanwhile, the United States is seeking a retrial of Larry Layton, who's out on his own recognizance at the present time in the Bay Area. For those of you who can get the magazine, it's a California magazine, and I'll update this too. It's called California. This is the November 1981 issue. There's an article on the portrait of the artist as a mass murderer by George Oakes. And this has to do with the Zodiac murders, were they part of a grand design? And this is the most important article I've read on the Zodiac murders, which again goes back to Ronald Reagan, the California administration, the California mind control, the use of the CIA and the Defense Department for a series of terrors and slayings up and down this state, and even linked back east to David Berkowitz that were going on out here in California. And from 1966 to 69, there were these bizarre murders. And I'm not going into the details of this story, but the important thing is that the man who wrote it is a writer who lives near San Francisco, and his father was one of the investigators working in the Attorney General's office in Sacramento and had access to the entire Zodiac file, and he took the messages of them. And this fellow had been an army cryptographer. He got a hold of these files, and being an army cryptographer, he went into the messages of the Zodiac killer. This article is fascinating by George Oakes, California Magazine. It's on the stand, November 1981. And he ends up his conclusion. I love to know the end of a movie, the end of a story, and then go to the front and start over so I'm not filled with all the anxiety. The end of the story is that somebody in London did the training or the messages, studied Lewis Carroll, was very sophisticated, new cryptograph, new coding, had to be military intelligence based in London. And the man I think that would be closest to it would be FBI Director Charles Bates, who worked in Chicago as FBI Director at the time Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed, the Black Panthers. He was stationed in London for a lot of time and training in the FBI and then went to Washington at the time Watergate broke open, was with the Justice Department, and then had to come to California because we had the Zebra killings and the kidnapping of Patty Hearst and Charles Bates, of course, skyrocketed in fame as the great investigator of the Patty Hearst case. And I wrote the long story, the SLA is the CIA, and the reasons why I thought Bates was involved at the time. The London connections are important with the Jonestown, Tim Stone, going to London, money from London, setting up the rentals for the property in Guyana that Jim Jones was to go to, Terry Buford in London, major characters involved in Jonestown in London. And the opinion of this fellow, whose father is an investigator in Sacramento at the Justice Department, and this, he works with the Army, decoded in the most brilliant way I've seen. So I wanted to mention it while the magazine's on the stand. Get it, and I'll update it later for you. There have been a lot of articles about the Sadat slaying. One saying the Sadat slaying is linked to Camp David. This is in the Washington Post. You better believe it was, and I've done broadcasts on TERSAM, the CIA, Edwin Wilson, and Thomas Klein, and the PLO. Files were charged in the Sadat slaying, were just charged this week. Four have been charged in particular, plus 20 others. One of the four, it's interesting enough, is a lieutenant in the Army. One is a bookstore manager. One is an engineer, and one is a volunteer sergeant in the National Guard. And then some of the others, one was a preacher, and one another engineer, and one poor fellow is a blind preacher. He's been charged in the murder of Sadat. Some will be hung and some will be shot, and the real conspiracy of that will stay on the burners again with this cast of characters in Washington, D.C. There are a lot of events happening. We can't go back and fill in those who've missed them on the air each week, but I want to update for those that listen regularly or get the tapes and keep you aware of what's going on in the news to follow some of the things that we've brought out from week up to this point. And one last word before we get to the infighting in the White House. I mentioned last week the MedFly problem and how I believe it was politically motivated to get Jerry Brown out of office. It makes the till in California, there's $100 million involved in the spraying. The scandal is linked to the CIA. Back in 1980, in March 1980 or April, tape 435, I referred to the Evergreen airline, that CIA airline from Arizona that was used to fly the Shah of Iran from the United States to Egypt. That's the Evergreen airline I mentioned last week that the federal government insisted would be used for the spraying. In 1981, it was September, tape 509, broadcast 509, I referred to the Peruvian connection, and I mentioned that the use of the MedFly on the broadcast and on the printed sheet, I said they would use the MedFly to sink Governor Brown. The federal government insisted that the Evergreen airline be used and that the sterile, supposed to be sterile flies would come from Peru, but they were actually fertile and caused this problem. Well, Mervyn Field has a poll that comes out regularly, and of course this week it said, once liked, comma, Governor Brown now got low marks from the public, and part of the problem is his handling of the state's Mediterranean fruit fly problem. Then again, another headline regarding the same poll, Governor Brown's ratings are sliding. I also saw this week, besides another cartoon in a magazine, it says MedFlies for sale. I saw in Los Angeles around UCLA campus sweatshirts with Governor Brown at a fruit stand selling fruit, and medflies flying out of the fruits. And they have little packages with wild medflies, and there's medfly shirts. And it's a big joke in California. You can buy all kinds of products, and they're probably all over the East Coast, too. But also, in regard to that, there's an article about Arm & Hammer of Occidental Petroleum and Hooker Chemicals, who has large holdings, according to an article in the Los Angeles Times this week. Arm & Hammer has large holdings in the North Sea, in Peru, and Libya. Now, following that, there was a large article, Arm & Hammer is combining with David Murdoch. This was in the Sunday Times, the magazine section of the San Jose Mercury, November 15th. Bullish on meat. David Murdoch, a largest stockholder in a meatpacking corporation, who is behind the Republican Party and putting Mike Curb and putting Mr. Representative Wilson in San Diego against Governor Brown. Mr. Murdoch is merging with Arm & Hammer, who has these large holdings in Peru. Arm & Hammer has large financial investments in Peru, and David Murdoch, who is the godfather of the politicians in Arizona and in California, has merged with Occidental Petroleum and with Murdoch's holdings, and they push the candidates that we're to have, and they also are the people that would want Governor Brown out. Another article in the Los Angeles Times about Pete Wilson from San Diego, who picked up $300,000 this week from people such as industrialist Justin Dart. That's the man behind Ronald Reagan. And it tells about they're pushing Wilson to the Senate and pouring all this money into the Senate seat against Jerry Brown. Justin Dart and David Murdoch and a group of politicians that work closely with Arm & Hammer, with great holdings in Peru, where these flies came, are out to zap Jerry Brown. There was another large article in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning, The Kingmaker, Elections GOP Style, that goes into Justin Dart, David Murdoch, former President Jerry Ford, and the Kitchen Cabinet, how they're working to get Mike Curb as Governor of California and Representative Pete Wilson to take the Senate seat of Jerry Brown. And the one thing that he would have running against Jerry Brown is the Medfly story and bankrupting the state that Mike Curb would use, because the money that would be here had to go to the flies that were flown in, those 200 to 300 million flies that were not sterile, that brought this state down, and the blame put on Jerry Brown. Another story linked to this, and not far apart, was that Norman Brayman, the gentleman that I said that Ronald Reagan had nominated for the Immigration Naturalization Service, has pulled himself out of the candidacy of the job of Immigration Naturalization. And he worked also in San Diego, according to the Los Angeles Times article, with Representative Bob Wilson of San Diego and C. Arnold Smith, Richard Nixon's buddy. He's pulled out because of scandals that he might possibly be linked to in the confirmation hearings. But this Norman Brayman works with Representative Pete Wilson. They went to Australia with Michael Hand, who's still alive, and Frank Nugent is missing. They're directly linked to the intelligence operations and the dirty tricks operations, and all of them have it till David Murdoch, Arm & Hammer, Peruvian connections, candidates. It is a can of worms that all adds up against Governor Brown. And when the elections come for senator, and it's Brown against Representative Wilson from San Diego, I'll go into this at great length and detail again on how the whole Medfly thing happened and who are the politicians behind it and the money behind it, because it's very important and it will be used. It won't be exposed properly unless it's detailed and mimeographed and sent to members of Congress and the news media of how this came about. Now, this infighting going to Washington, and I only have 15 minutes to go to this. We'll have to update it later. Many editorials trying to get Ronald Reagan this week. One by Anthony Lewis in the New York Times. Time to stop laughing. The conduct of foreign affairs of the president, he says, is no laughing matter. Secretary Haig is the most prominent problem. Then he goes into Caspar Weinberger and the way decisions are made, that it's disgusting. Another large article, Reagan's Advisors and Assessment, and it tells how Haig's State Department is fighting the national security Richard Allen, and the loser is Ronald Reagan, and how Alexander Haig is fighting people at the Pentagon because the State Department isn't used to the way the Pentagon works, and he is a military man commanding too much authority as the Secretary of State. Another large article this week, White House Odd Couple, and there's two gentlemen that are part of the infighting playing in the secret team behind Richard Dorman and Craig Fuller, White House persons who have chosen sides but are linked to each other and are a channel of information sticking together to important people inside the White House. David Broder, Reagan is under strain. It says the national security is a problem, his advisors are a problem. Reagan can't have a press conference spontaneously. He literally says he's cracking up, and they're catching on to that. Behind that smile of his, there's problems, and he's in serious problems. William Sapphire, another essay in the New York Times, Who's Blowing Smoke? And this is about Ronald Reagan's problems and Alexander Haig and Richard Allen and the infighting of them and their foreign policy. Charles McCabe in the San Francisco Chronicle, fights of Edwin Meese and Ronald Reagan and Justin Dart, the kitchen cabinet, and what's going on with Reagan. The Houston Post has an article, Reagan sets a trap for himself. The president is giving the Soviet tools to score points in Europe. And Reagan has a press conference, another headline, Reagan asks the reporters to watch it, to say that something is going on in this country and his cabinet is unpatriotic. And a large story of James Reston on Reagan's surprising statements, and he takes six of them as illustrates they're all lies, it's all bad, and that the pressure's coming on from the Washington Post, the New York Times now. Let's get Reagan. This is the Reagan Gate, not for the reasons I mentioned last week that will be coming down, but sometimes when there's a scandal, they have to get a person out who is involved, let's say a former president or a former CIA. Another UPI story, Reagan's popularity dwindles, and another Reagan at Cancun conference, no class, how he acted, showing disregard for other countries and late. And then, of course, a big quarter of a page story in the Houston Post, Reagan's most qualified man is excluded from real decisions. And there's a great big picture of George Bush, and he's, you know, of course, ready. He's the most qualified, and he's letting all of them fight each other. And you notice how he's staying out of it. Now, the story of the Stockman fight, and I may not get into the Casey Allen Haig and the guerrillas in the White House. The story, I'll briefly go into the Stockman story because it's getting a lot of coverage, and it's horrendous. The story of Stockman, the head of the Office of Management Budget, was printed in the Atlantic Monthly. But the Atlantic Monthly, in order to go to press, has to go to press in October. You have to turn in your article in October. And I might remind those of you who are too young to remember that the Atlantic Monthly is controlled by the Washington Post. And it was Ben Bradley of the Washington Post that worked with Deep Throat and got Richard Nixon out of office and Haig there in the first place. The CIA worked hand in glove and slid Richard Nixon out of office and prepared for the great Anschluss, the team we got in now, and they can't even hold their act together. They're fighting among each other. The Atlantic Monthly took a story with the approval of Bradley. It wasn't to break in their own newspaper, which they usually want. It's unusual because the Washington Post could have carried stories of Stockman. The senior editors of the Washington Post approved that with the managing editor that they would interview Stockman over a period of 10 months. Reagan's only been in office 9 months, and Stockman would get up and tell Congress this was a great economic package, but it's only been passed a few weeks, and by October, he had told the Atlantic Monthly, owned by Ms. Graham, Catherine Graham, and the Washington Post, that the plan wouldn't work, it wasn't any good, and it was actually breaking apart Ronald Reagan. Now, Stockman is no liberal. He is out of control. He came into office by saying that Medicare was out of control. He said Medicaid is out, that Social Security is, that food stamps are bad, that educational benefits are wrong, that retirement benefits are wrong. He never mentions the military, the shuttle that went up this week again, the $99 billion shuttle. He doesn't talk about space programs or war or weapons. He wanted to attack these systems, but he also is doing a John Dean. He's getting Richard Nixon's pattern going, the Dean ad with Nixon, and he's poking holes. He worked with Bradley of the Washington Post, and William Grider, who did the story with him, had been working with him well long before he was pushing this with the Congress that the package was wrong. He was getting ready for a story to be submitted in October, printed in November, and Stockman was saying that Reagan's policies were not working as intended when they hardly could work. The point is that this was a decision made a long time ago. They had 18 meetings over the past 10 months, so Stockman was ready to break down anything that Reagan did. In other words, when Reagan was shot in March, Haig and Bush were fighting it out just the week before, and I mentioned that on this program. Bush wanted to be in charge of domestic control if we had martial law, and Haig wanted to be in charge of domestic and foreign policy if war is declared, emergency powers. They were fighting over who controls the United States as well as foreign decisions, and that's where the split was when Ronald Reagan was shot. Well, I haven't stopped arguing about some of this, but one thing that the Washington Post owns, Newsweek also, besides influencing Atlantic Monthly, that is the newspaper that printed the picture of Jodie Foster that just the day before it came out. It was dated after, but it came out the same day that Ronald Reagan was shot. And there were other articles in there and intimations in Newsweek and in the Washington Post that Ronald Reagan would be shot. Now, Benjamin Bradley was doing the same kind of thing way back when Reagan was thinking of being president, when Richard Nixon was president. They planned to get rid of Richard Nixon, that Squad 19, the same gang, by killing him in San Diego. When the convention was changed, they Watergated him. And they had a deep throat and scotch tape on the door and a John Dean who was talking. And John Dean worked with James McCord and Benjamin Bradley, the Washington Post, and Woodward and Bernstein. And all of this was unfolding when Richard Nixon was in office. Now they're pulling it again. People on the East, who I know want George Bush as President of the United States, are pulling the plugs out and working overtime. These many interviews, according to the New York Times, Benjamin Bradley had 18 meetings over the past 10 months with Stockman. Well, how did Stockman know this wasn't going to work? He pushed it night and day and pushed an economic package through Congress. How did he know it wasn't going to work, and why did he push it if he was telling these reporters? And then the question came up in the New York Times. They're widely discussing how it came about that this happened at this time, that Stockman is saying they used phony numbers for their figures, that they knew in September the budget wouldn't work, and so forth. And they want to know why they pursued this story. The New York Times asked why the Washington Post pursued this over this very series of interviews over 10 months with Stockman. If he didn't believe it was going to happen, then why was he working to expose it, and why did he push it? There can only be one reason, and that is to start to bring back Mr. Bush of the CIA and make him in charge of our country. He ran, wanted to be president, ran, couldn't make the presidency. Mr. Baker, who managed his campaign, becomes the head of the staff for Ronald Reagan. All of Bush's people are on the staff. All the CIA people are on the staff. And George Bush worked closely also with Edwin Wilson and Bobby Inman and Frank Turkle and George Coca-Cola through a whole series of crises when he was director of the CIA. So this Stockman story was planned too long ago. It's the same smelly set of characters that pulled these things to Richard Nixon. I have no love for Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan, but it's a repetition. And as I say, along with the editorials of Reagan's Got to Go, what's wrong with Reagan? The White House is falling apart. He can't use his little cards to read. He can't handle a press conference. He's telling outright lies. If you take the major stories of the various people writing the editorials, it's loud and clear. There are many front page, just the title stories of the Office of Management, Budget, and Stockman this week. One, the president chastises Stockman, but resignation rejected. They can't let him out because then he'll tell more, and if they leave him in, there's another headline, Stockman on a leash. Another headline, Stockman talks of bureaucrats, Pentagon waste, and budget fraud. Can you imagine being in the administration of Ronald Reagan going through the selective processes that they had, having this great economic package go through Congress. It's so jubilant and smiling and handing out the jelly beans, and the man is working with Ben Bradley and the CIA over, and Bradley wasn't the CIA, but the Washington Post getting ready for an article 9 months after the president and just weeks after the economic package was there. How, if there was fraud, why did he say there was fraud before Congress voted for it? This has to be a Reagan gate, and as I say, it may be a Reagan gate because of other scandals, and they're hiding their own position. Another headline, the Trojan horse cuts held aid for the rich. Well, Stockman didn't care about the rich. As I say, his main program was to get all the poor, the Medicaid, the Medi-Cal, the food stamps. So all of a sudden, he becomes a hero because he's attacking the rich. He's really bringing Ronald Reagan out of office. And as I say, if I go next week, and I'll save the material on the campaigns against Haig, and the guerrilla warfare, the cartoons of Haig, the guerrilla, the campaigns against Richard Allen and his connections to the Japanese receiving the gift. And there's more to Allen than that. It goes into Mr. Ugel and McNeil Brothers and the CIA and a lot of Japanese operations. And then they want to get Mr. Casey out. One reason Barry Goldwater wants Casey out, as I said, is they want Admiral Bobby Inman so that the military and the Navy have complete control. Edwin Wilson worked for Navy intelligence. He worked directly under Bobby Inman, and it is said on a program like 60 Minutes that they think Edwin Wilson had foul play with Frank Turpel and George Coracola. This is a Navy intelligence operation as well as an Army. And you see, Alexander Haig is a West Point man. And this is the Navy intelligence. John Paisler is in the Navy. A lot of these people, Admiral Turner, Jimmy Carter, worked with Frank Turpel and over there in Libya and with Robert Vesco. But Jimmy Carter was Annapolis, Navy intelligence. Admiral Stansfield Turner was head of the CIA under Jimmy Carter, working with Edwin Wilson, Frank Turpel, George Coracola, Gaddafi, Idi Amin, and that can of worms in London with Samuel Cummings. One of the reasons for attacking Haig could be that they want to get all Navy intelligence into this operation. They were the people that brought over mostly the Nazis from Germany through Navy intelligence, and also they are the elite, the highest echelon, the creme de la creme of the army. It's broken down even to its caste system. If you were in India, it's identical to that, but always at the top is Navy intelligence. I know West Point is involved in this. I know that Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's intelligence chief, was brought out here from Germany. He was even in Monterey at the Presidio, but to the Pentagon. But the Pentagon is an umbrella over Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force. And the reason for pecking Haig at this time, probably, and I know, is to get this admiral and a series of admirals in there. So watch the Stockman story. I just can't believe, considering who's bringing it out and the way it's falling, in addition to the scandals that we'll go into later that will be coming up of Ronald Reagan, have come up often, the Stockman story and the editorials that go alongside of it means that Ronald Reagan is in serious trouble and Congress is in trouble. Stockman saying, I deceived you, the president deceived you, they voted on these bills, and they voted while Stockman knew what he was doing and working with the Washington Post. And the Washington Post has a long history of working with the CIA, and as I say, CIA Director George Bush would be the recipient of all this. He would be the king of it all, and he's sitting there waiting. Well, that's enough for this hour. We'll get back to some more infighting next week, or skip it 1 week and talk about John Kennedy next week. Maybe I'll see. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel. I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
This is KLRB, Carmel, in the air everywhere.
But what are the chances it will stay in the air for the whole show? Well, our transmitter has literally thousands of components that must all function perfectly, otherwise we're off. Your radio has hundreds of components that must function with equal precision, or we're off. But even more important, what are the chances that you will last through the show? Your body has over 20 major organs and countless other tiny ones, chemical balances to a thousandth of a gram, untold miles of...